Next week, the UN Climate Summit opens in New York. This week, Here Now is taking part in a collaboration of news outlets around the world to ramp up coverage. It's called Covering Climate Now.
This is kind of the new normal.
Which is more intense storms.
Expect intense tropical cyclones to become more frequent.
This is a global problem.
And temperatures have dried out Sao Paulo's Cantareira.
We'll be looking at many aspects of the climate crisis, but we begin today with something on a lot of young people's minds, whether or not to have children. In the UK, there's a group called the Birth Strikers, women and men choosing not to have children, not because they think it will help reverse climate change, but because they're petrified to bring children into a world that will almost certainly be 2, more likely 3 or 4 degrees Celsius hotter in the coming decades. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez made waves on Instagram after she raised the question in a video earlier this year.
There's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult, and it does lead, I think, young people to have a legitimate question. You know, is it okay to still have children?
Our next guest is asking that question. 27-year-old Ali Sarusi is on a solo road trip from Seattle cross country to grad school. Lots of time to think. And Ali, you say you're leaning toward not having children because of climate change. Why?
Thank you for having me here, Robin. First of all, one of the things we hear a lot about is it's predicted that we have about a decade to switch to renewable energy to kind of keep the effects of a changing climate manageable. And that's terrifying to me. I'm 27 years old right now, and I'm about to go to graduate school. If I think about maybe I'd want to have a baby when I'm 31 or 32, and that's about 4 or 5 years from now, to think that that kid could be 5 and to know that we haven't switched to renewables is just heartbreaking to me.
Well, and explain why. You say that there was a moment your mom's friend posted, "Losing Earth, the decade we almost stopped climate change." This was a New York Times article. Tell us about reading that.
So it was pretty late at night. It was about a year ago. And I was kind of scrolling through Facebook, avoiding going to sleep. And I saw her post about this article. And my entire body went cold when I read it. And I started to understand it wasn't just, you know, trash in the ocean. It wasn't just melting ice. It was really about a livable future. Well, and that was a lot for me to take in.
Well, it's also something that could have been stopped. This is the article by Nathaniel Rich in 2018. And he writes about how from 1979 to 89, we as a culture understood climate change just as well as we do today. There was scientific consensus. There was political consensus. The fossil fuel industry really didn't start to mislead the public about what they knew until the late 1980s. Republicans like Senators John Chafee and Robert Stafford were on board. Everybody thought that this was such an important thing to reverse this coming climate crisis. And then it just wasn't done. Is that part of where your blood ran a little cold?
Some of that, but also what would happen to the Earth at certain degrees of warming. You know, with 2 degrees, we'll have these things happen. With 3 degrees, these things will happen. And, you know, as the degrees increase, effects are more disastrous. And that's what really got me.
Yeah. 3-degree warming forests in the Arctic and the loss of most coastal cities. 4 degrees, Europe in permanent drought, vast areas of China, India, Bangladesh claimed by desert, Polynesia swallowed by the sea. You sent this article to a friend. What did she say?
She replied and she said, "Thank you for sending it to me, but I just want to let you know that climate change is a huge trigger for me and I'm having a hard time with sleeping. And, you know, it's hard to receive these messages and these articles late at night when I'm trying to get some rest because this is such an intense and anxiety provoking topic."
So you have a friend who's using the word triggering. You know, this is something that is really gripping people your age. How are you picturing this future? I mean, when you think about it, you've told us that, you know, you cry in baby stores.
As I'm picturing it now, I worry that kind of on the minor end of things that if I had a kid and, you know, it would be hard in the summer, like maybe there would be too much smoke from wildfires, which was an issue in Seattle last summer. And then that would maybe decrease their quality of life. That's kind of the smaller things I think about. And then I think about, what if there's wars? What if we're fighting a war, wars for resources? Like, that's really scary. And I would have to find my child shelter because of climate change.
Well,
which people might be doing now.
In parts of the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can hear people saying, though, and maybe they've said to you, there have been other doomsday predictions. In the 60s, Stanford biologist Paul Ehrlich predicted the collapse of civilization because of overpopulation by 1985. His 1968 book was The Population Bomb. I mean, people took it seriously. There was the film Soylent Green, which was based on another dystopian book about no food. There's not, wasn't going to be enough food for people. Well, 1985 came and went. And, you know, we learned to engineer high-yield crops in the so-called Green Revolution. Do you hold out hope that humans will come up with some solution, and then maybe you'll regret having made, if you make the decision not to have children?
Well, I do think about that sometimes. I also think that there's many ways to have a family, and it doesn't necessarily mean having one biologically, or, you know, it could mean adopting, it could mean foster care. And I also kind of think of extended family, like extended community family. Like, I have friends with kids, I'm on a sports team, and I'm, you know, part of a great community of people on the sports team who have kids, and I don't necessarily think that my decision is one that everyone should be making. I think it's something that is highly personal, and that's the choice I've kind of made for myself right now.
Have you read David Wallace Wells' The Uninhabitable Earth?
No, but I believe it's on my list.
Yeah, well, it might push you over the edge, because we'll link people to our interview with him. But, you know, he's one of those who does document, if we don't avoid 2 degrees of global warming, 153 million people will die from air pollution alone. I mean, it's just disastrous, the scenario he lays out. It's apocalyptic, an impact twice as big as the Great Depression, and it could be permanent. But he also has just had a child. And, you know, he writes that without children, we lose our will to fight for a future. And also, children are emerging as some of the most potent forces against climate change. You know, we think of Greta Thunberg.
Yes.
So,
my hero.
Yes, the young woman who's advocating for really doing something about the climate crisis. But doesn't he have a point there? Here's the guy who wrote the most disastrous book of recent memory about the effects of the climate crisis, but he has hope, and part of his hope comes through having a child.
I don't think I could really argue that, because I think the decision, I mean, even if you pull the climate crisis away and, you know, it doesn't exist anymore, I think the decision to have children or not is one that each person, family, couple needs to make on their own. So, but like I said before, like, there's people in my life that I care about that have children. And I also, just part of general altruism, care about people and children. And so it, you know, they do give me hope, but it's not necessarily to say that I feel like I could have my own.
I mean, it is paralyzing sometimes for parents to think of things that might be a danger to their child. You know, often some parents say, I'm not going to think about it, you know, because everything from cars in the street to something they might pick up and drink. But this is such an apocalyptic future. I'm wondering, about, you know, how sad it makes you to think of the world we might be delivering to children.
It makes me really, really sad. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and there's so many beautiful places across the world, but I am biased towards the Pacific Northwest. And going on this trip has shown me the natural and cultural beauty of this country. And it's painful to think about that we could be losing a lot of that to environmental destruction and climate change.
And delivering that to little ones. Yeah.
Exactly.
Ali Sarusi, 27 years old. She's from Seattle, Washington. On a cross-country drive, she stopped in Santa Fe. And she's right now leaning towards maybe not having children because of the climate crisis. Ali, good luck to you on your decision and the road trip. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And again, this story and others this week are part of Covering Climate Now, a collaboration of more than 250 news outlets around the world. So are you considering being a birth striker? Maybe you already are one. Or do you see children as a sign of hope? Weigh in, hereandnow.org.